This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Andy Sibbald is a Nanaimo author with an interest in the Canadian Arctic, mental health, addictions, and satire. He's been working on a trilogy of books for teens called Ishigak. Andy is also working on a book called The Trouble with Normal about a man who struggles with mental health and addictions issues throughout his life. Andy Sibbald will participate in the annual Great Lake Walk and Ultra Marathon around Cowichan Lake on Vancouver Island. It takes place on Saturday, September 17th. And this is Andy's third time in the Great Lake Walk. While he walks, he also raises funds for the Nanaimo-based Columbian Center Society. And I'm joined in the studio by Andy Sibbald. Welcome to People First Radio, Andy.
Thank you, Kevin.
Now, did I get the pronunciation of the name of the trilogy right, Ishigak?
Yeah.
Tell us about your Ishigak trilogy.
Well, the whole thing started off, there was a man about 45 years old that I knew who was Inuit, and he started talking to me one time about these little people in the Arctic, and it stuck with me over the years. So when I started writing, I started thinking about that, and I started thinking about, you know, what those little people would be like. And in reality, they're supposed to be miserable. They're supposed to abduct babies and not be nice people. But I've created them in a different way.
So they're sort of like the northern equivalent to the European kind of gremlin or elf or something like that.
Yeah.
And is this an extensive kind of, is there extensive folklore or myth around these little creatures?
No, actually on the web I was unable to find very much at all. And in fact, people from the Eastern Arctic said that they don't use the word Ishigak. They use another word, Inuktitut word. So there wasn't a lot of information, and I just remember hearing it from this individual.
It certainly was the first time that I had come across that word as well. Now, your second book in the Ishigak trilogy, it's called Nipster's Magical Cane, will be launched at Vancouver Island Regional Library Harborfront Branch October the 8th from 12 noon until about 12:30. Tell us more about that particular book.
Well, that book is essentially about two, or a big person, our size, a girl, young girl, steps on the underground colony of these people 30 centimeters tall and poses an immediate threat to the people within the colony. So her Nipster, her illness Nipster, who is a spiritual leader, uses her magical cane to shrink the girl. Then they go on an adventure where they learn about how to navigate with the snow and the stars, and all this stuff is in actuality true. It is how things are done there. And they have to find the cane disappears on their trip. So in order to turn the girl back into her normal size, they have to go and get the cane back from the big people who they've heard all kinds of nasty rumors about. So both groups are scared of each other. And eventually they get the cane back and all is well. But the two groups realize that they were stereotyping each other, which wasn't very helpful at all. And they're actually better off with each other because the big people can take the little people hunting, because global warming is eliminating their ability to use their sleds on the snow and ice because it's disappearing.
You've said that the books in the trilogy both entertain and educate, and I gather you're reaching toward the education around global warming. What are you educating people about in the books?
Well, one of the things is that, I mean, an entire way of life would have to be changed. Because if you have no snow and ice, you can't use sleds. Transportation becomes problematic. Southern animals, I remember when I lived in Baker Lake, there was a moose there. They'd never seen a moose before. And so you have polar bears starving with no ice, presumably coming south. And you have southern animals moving north. And the whole thing just becomes, I think, a complete mess, really. And the people who are caught in between it are the Inuit. And I don't know what that means for them, but it's certainly an entire change of life if there's no snow and ice.
What is it about the Ishigak concept or the legend itself, too, that intrigues you and motivates you? Why did you go in that direction to begin with?
I think it was because of my daughter. My daughter's name is Nippy, so the main character is named after her. And I thought, I worked up in the Arctic for 20 years, and I liked the Inuit kids. I liked the Inuit people, and I thought it would be nice to give something back to them, and I thought it might be something they would enjoy. The other thing is that I think legends are generally dying off a bit, and I've created two different legends within these books that are not Inuit legends, but they're about, you know, they might find them enjoyable.
You're also working on a book called The Trouble with Normal, about a man who struggles with mental health and addictions issues throughout his life. Tell us about that book.
That book is, I think, amusing in a lot of ways, and it goes through a whole bunch of situations that this individual experiences, which might be funny to a certain point. But it also gets into questioning how diagnoses are done under the DSM-IV and how they seem to be inconsistent across cultures and geography. And so how, you know, questioning how can you have a blanket diagnostic tool when there are so many variations within the people who they diagnose.
And one of the things that we can't reveal on air just by saying the name or the title of the book is that it's spelled The Trouble, T-R-U-B-B-L-E, with Normal, with two L's. And I guess that you're challenging the reader with a misspelling, so to speak, of a word that nonetheless sounds the way it should.
Yes, it's absolutely intentional. And
why are you writing The Trouble with Normal?
Because I think I've been doing things to try and lessen the stigma around mental health. I don't apologize for having mental illness. And I think that the experiences outlined within the book would help to educate people that, you know, we're not scary people. We're not out there creating a lot of problems, but we do encounter sometimes problems within our life. And sometimes the system is not so sympathetic to those problems, and people in authority don't understand them. And I think you just went through that actually prior to this with some of your discussion in the earlier show.
This is CHLY.ca, CHLY 101.7 FM. You're listening to People First Radio.
Nanaimo-based author Andy Sibbald will participate in the annual Great Lake Walk and Ultra Marathon around Cowichan and Lake on Vancouver Island, British Columbia. It takes place on Saturday, September 17th. This is Andy's third time in the Great Lake Walk, and while he walks, he also raises funds for the Nanaimo-based Columbian Center Society, and Andy Sibbald is with me in the studio today. Andy, you mentioned that you lived and you worked in the addictions field in Nunavut, the Northwest Territories, and Yukon for a combined period of 20 years. How did those experiences affect you?
I actually think they had a traumatic effect on me. I think that some of my problems are related to some of the things I saw there. I wasn't there a week until I was actually asked by a minister to help load somebody into a coffin who had committed suicide. And the rate of suicides in that community of under 1,000 people that year. And, you know, you're in a place where there are no roads in, there are no roads out, and you are subject to everything that goes on within the community.
You also wrote, I think, in your online blog that you were very concerned about the devastating impact unemployment was having in the Nunavut community where you worked. Tell us more about that.
Well, in some of the communities, there's probably about an 80% unemployment rate. And I don't see how the economy can get a lot better. I mean, there are mines that open, but there are also mines that have closed. And so in the longer term, the population continues to increase. I don't see an increasing economic base. And I think previously young people looked forward to Nunavut thinking that that would create jobs when Nunavut was created. Well, those jobs have been created now, so I don't know where the hope comes from at this point.
Tell us about your participation in the Great Lake Walk. Why are you doing it? And what has the experience been? This is going to be your third time around that lake.
Yeah, last year I did it with Tom Grohman, who is the executive director from Columbian Center, and this year I'm doing it with an employee from there, Linda Spinard. It's been really positive. I mean, the people there, there's a break every 5 kilometers, and you can have a drink and so forth, and very, very nice people, and the money goes to a very good cause. You end up quite sore at the end of it, but that's okay. It's worth it for the money for the agency.
What is the process of walking in the name of a cause, so to speak? What is that like for you as an individual, for I don't anticipate that everyone walking that walk is doing it for a specific cause, but there are probably a few other causes being represented there too. What does it mean to get out and walk on behalf of a cause?
I think it's just, it's given me a purpose for doing it. It's really nice. It is a challenge. You get to see familiar faces, so there's a bit of a social aspect to it as well. And if you walk with somebody, like I didn't really know Tom that well, I had an opportunity to get to know him over about a 10-hour period. So, and raising the money, I've worked for agencies myself, and I know, you know, all the reporting that goes on. And for a small amount of money, the reporting is almost exceeds the value of the money. In this case, it's free money. There is no reporting, so they can use it any way they see fit. So I think that that's important.
Now, are there any other projects in the works? We have two books in the trilogy that are available. One will be unveiled very shortly. Mm-hmm. We've heard about The Trouble with Normal, which is in the lineup, so to speak. What is inspiring you these days other than those items? And where is your attention being taken? What kinds of books are you planning along the way?
Well, the third book is right now with an editor in Vancouver, so I'm hopeful that she will do that fairly shortly. It'll be out by Christmas. So the trilogy will be done, and I guess I'm kind of at a crossroads, you know, wondering what will I do from here. But it's kind of hard to focus on the future when this stuff is still going on because it can get pretty intense. So,
yeah. We have a couple of minutes left, and I'm wondering, I'm curious about the process of writing and the way that you've experienced it. And you mentioned that it can become rather intense. Are the stories that you tell essentially stories about yourself, your experiences in the world? What happens between the time you sit down to write and the actual page that's produced?
Oh, that is an interesting question. A lot of the stuff in the Ishigok books is based on experience on the land with people who knew what they were doing. I created a legend around eating bearded seal meat and polar bear meat, which both have trichinosis, so they have to be cooked. And so I've created a whole legend about why they have to be cooked and other ones don't have to be cooked. And as a result of a tantrum that somebody had in that episode, that explains why we have eclipses. So there's stuff that goes on, and I've always wondered about the creative process. I think for me there's a therapeutic value because it's reliving things that I know about but really aren't relevant here. And I think I really struggled with that when I moved down here. I knew a lot of things, but they didn't fit. Mm-hmm. And people here knew a lot more than I knew about living in the South. But they assumed because I was from the South that I would just know those things, and I didn't.
Yeah,
I went up there as a fairly young man. And then, of course, when I came down here, I had this huge mental health implosion. And I've been on disability since. And the writing I do when I can. It's not, you know, I don't sit down and do 8-hour days because I can't. But I do it when I can, and it's given me a purpose. It's also, the reason I started doing it was because I wanted an identity. So if somebody asked me, what do you do? I didn't have to respond, I'm disabled. I could respond mm-hmm. that I'm an author. Which is a lot better. We can get around to the disability later in the conversation or yeah. you know, days later, months later, whatever.
Yeah.
But initially I can respond in a different way. And that was really what it was all about. Mm. I have no problem with being on disability. I have no problem with having mental illness, but I just wanted to be able to identify myself as something other than that first.
Mm. Andy Sybil, we have just a moment left in our conversation today. I'm wondering if there's anything else you'd like to add.
I just had a wonderful relationship with the Columbian Center Society and a lot of the staff there as well, and I really appreciate the support and kindness that I've experienced from them over the years. And I thank you for having me here and talking with me about my books and the walk.
Thanks very much for taking the time to join us. I'll be watching for that trilogy one way or another. I'd like to have a closer look at those books. We appreciate your time. And Andy Sybold is a Nanaimo-based author with an interest in the Canadian Arctic, mental health, addictions, and satire. He's been working on a trilogy of books for teens called Ishigak. Andy is also working on a book called The Trouble with Normal, about a man who struggles with mental health and addictions issues throughout his life. You can find Andy online at his blog. Just go to andysybold.com, and that's Sybold, S-I-B-B-A-L-D.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with the Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.